Good morning again. I see you're looking around at the walls. It's a new change, or addition, or morphing. A lot of the people that I refer to from the Hall of Fame, people that have been very successful under my tutelage, the people that have influenced me or events that have influenced me are now on the walls. It's about 95% finished. Some of the people we haven't been able to get pictures of because they're in jail. The Hall of Shame on that side, are either in jail or were in jail.
Or should be in jail.
Or should be in jail. Although every single person on the Hall of Shame has made a lot of money, one of which has made $200 million. And being a high performance person doesn't mean that you do good things. Being a high performance person means that you have the skill sets and to create wealth for yourself or take wealth from other people. Some of you, hopefully all of you in this room, will choose to do good with it. But it won't surprise me that if you don't, because there's some people we can't get pictures of. This should be on the Hall of Shame. And but it's going to be an interesting week. And I'm going to go through a few slides for the benefit of YouTube. But I've changed the format of the seminar. Why did I change the format of the seminar? When I can give this seminar in my sleep in a coma. Because the only excuse for not accomplishing anything when you tell me you're going to do something on our weekly reports is either you're dead, not your mother's fucking dead, not your child's dead, not your dad's dead, you're fucking dead, or you're in a fucking coma. Not your mother's in a coma, you're in a fucking coma. Those are the only excuses I accept. And I don't even accept those. Because when I tell you, and I'm not going to give the speech about commitment as I've given already on YouTube, about showing up at the hospital half dead in a wheelchair to meet Klaus Kleinfeld many years ago. But when I tell you I'm going to do something, I fucking do it. Not like some Chicano pendejo, lazy fucking asshole. You can look up on Google, pendejo, you understand the asshole part. Because that's how high performance people are. And even the Hall of Shamers got stuff done. Got stuff done. Now, I changed the seminar. oh, there it is. Because, for two reasons. Number one, too many people that come through here don't understand the gravity of the situation until the second or third day. Then they get nauseous and they get sick to their stomach because they realize either it's not for them, one, and or two, they're not capable of it in their own little pea brains. So I want you to understand from the very fucking get-go it ain't for you. So I've changed the format. And the first 40 or 50 slides, as there used to be a commercial back in the 90s, where's the beef? About the hamburgers? Where's the beef? Well, we give you the beef from the beginning. Now, I'm not here to hurt anybody's feelings, but I will. I'm not here to insult anybody, but I will. And I'm not certainly not here to keep you from your destiny. If you pay attention and you do what I suggest, as the people in the Hall of Fame behind you, the people in the Hall of Fame, for the most part, it took $50 million to get on that wall. $50 million. We have some billionaires. And some of the names, some of the faces look familiar. One of them sitting in this room. That was in his better day when he looked a little better and he was a little younger. And he hadn't lost 25 pounds from me beating the fuck out of him daily. Shalom. The Gates. Hey, dude. Salute. Fuck yous, you cunt. That's how they say it here in Scotland. And they give you a Glaswegian kiss by headbutting you. That's the way it's done here in Scotland. I'm here to shock you, surprise you, and or stun you. And there was a very popular war fought that was called nicknamed Shock and Awe, if you remember, the first Desert Storm. And where they came in and they just obliterated everybody. And they went, came in and won the war in 6 or 8 days. That's what this is about. That's what this is about. Everything you want is on the other side of your fear. Most of you are afraid to be more successful. Some of you have been more successful and decided that it was outside your comfort zone. Because everything you want in life is one step that you don't already have, is one step outside your comfort zone. Some of you have bigger, or I should say smaller comfort zones than others. My comfort zone, and many of the people on that Hall of Fame wall's comfort zone, is limitless. I was asked many years ago at a CEO club in San Francisco, Silicon Valley, Dan, what do you attribute your success to? And in the back of the audience, another guy said, not the first guy that asked me, that was sitting about here, "Balls your brains, Pena!" Can't say Pena, he's an ignorant fuck. "Balls your brains!" And I immediately said, without even thinking about it, 50-50, cunt! And that's what I do attribute my success to. 50% balls and 50% brains. Now, as I've gotten older, I use more brains and less balls. But when I was young, as young as some of you in this room, it might have been 80-20. Now, unfortunately, with the greatest respect to the one woman in the audience, some of you don't have any balls. Some of you should squat to take a pee. It's going to be tough for you. Not impossible, but pretty fucking tough. And for those of you that are on YouTube, if you've got to squat to pee and you're a man, you got a major fucking problem. But as far as brains are concerned, we've had people do $300-400 million deals with one O level. An O level in joinery. And if you're watching, you know who I mean. Joinery is being a carpenter. Okay, we have some educated people in the room, which I'm gonna make fun of all week. But that's no key to success for sure. The fact that jellyfish have survived for 650 fucking million years despite not having brains is great news for stupid people like you! You ignorant fucking shits! You got a fucking chance! 650 fucking million years without a fucking brain. And that jellyfish has got more fucking brain cells than this whole room put together, excluding me. These are some of the patterns of genius. Now, if you don't qualify under any of these, or most of them, it's okay. I qualify almost on all of them. Highly developed ability to visualize. Have developed numerous links between the senses. Use multiple perspectives. Highly developed ability for switching between perceptual positions, ability to move back and forth between different chunk sizes and levels of thinking, feedback loop between abstract and the concrete, make internal models that run their own without conscious direction, develop special states for access to unconscious processes, incorporate chance or random into creative process, balance function, dreamer, realist, critic, ask basic questions and operate in a feedback as opposed to a failure frame. That's probably my best, number 11. Because I don't really give a fuck what anybody says. And I shall digress a moment. I told you when we met in San Francisco, I told you when we met in Los Angeles a couple times, and I told your dad. You've heard people say that they don't give a shit what other people think. We've all heard that shit, haven't we? Well, I am the only cocksucker you've ever met that really doesn't give a fuck what other people think of me. 100% earnest on my children's lives. I don't give a shit. And not just because all of the rest of the people that I deal with have the brains of a jellyfish. But I haven't cared in a long, long time, since I'm in my teen years. We're going to talk about self-esteem and why I have a lot of it, and most of you are only just beginning to develop it, and even though some of you are older. Use metaphors and analogies. Use models to approximate reality. Encourage and use self-organizing processes. Acquire familiarity with necessary information through self-managed learning. Operate from dynamic mode divided into three interactive elements. Think systematically. Focus on deep structure as opposed to subsurface structure. Map your ideas into some external formal system of representation. Harmonize new ideas with existing knowledge and have a mission beyond the individual identity. Most people in this room qualify for three or four of these. But you don't have to be a genius. I qualify for, I think, 19 or 20 of them. Some people say I have the brain as big as a planet. I do. There was a great movie back in the 50s called Donovan's Brain. Well, you're going to see a picture of Donovan's brain here in a minute. But you don't have to have the brain as big as a planet. Because if that were the qualification, most of the people on the Hall of Fame wouldn't be there. A few of them would be. But most of them wouldn't. That's what Donovan's brain looked like in the movie. And it ruled the world. I think he was a Nazi. I think that Mengele worked on him back in the good old days. This is a brain from one of my students that I killed. This is the brain that some people say that I have because I have some aura about me. But that's the one I like the best. The evil monster. But you don't even have to have a brain. You can be a jellyfish and still be successful. Now these are 20 things that rich people do every day. And I'm here to tell you, you probably don't do but three or four of them. Three or four of them. Let's just go down a few. 70% of the wealthy eat less than 300 junk calories per day. 97% of the poor people eat more junk food calories per day. 23% of wealthy gamble. 52% of poor people gamble. 80% of wealthy are focused on accomplishing some single goal. Only 12% of the poor do this. 76% of the wealthy exercise aerobically 4 days a week. 23% poor do this. 63% of wealthy listen to audiobooks during commute to work. 5% are poor. I don't do that. 81% of the wealthy maintain a to-do list. 19% are poor. 63% of wealthy parents make their children read two or more books, nonfiction books a month versus 3% are poor. 70% of wealthy parents make their children volunteer 10 hours or more a month. 3% are poor. I didn't do that either. 80% of wealthy make happy birthday calls versus 11% of poor. I don't do that. 67% of wealthy write down their goals versus 17% of poor. There's a trend here. I hope you're getting it, thick shits. 80% of wealthy read 30 minutes or more each day for education or career reasons versus 2% of poor. I read 3 hours a day. 6% of wealthy say that they have what's on their mind, and 69% are poor. I think this is out of whack, because I never met a poor person that opened his fucking mouth. But I went back and checked it three times, again this morning. I only slept 4 hours last night. I was so fucking excited about doing this seminar today. 4 fucking hours. I've been up since 3:45. Do I look tired? I will look like this the last motherfucking second of the seminar. And you'll be all tired. Standing up, we can't stand up. One of the reasons I put these pictures on the wall, so you lazy cunts won't lean up against the wall trying to stay awake towards the end of the week. The only wall that's got a little room is the Hall of Shame for losers. So you can stand up against that wall. Of wealthy network 5 hours or more each month. 16% of poor. I don't network at all. 67% of wealthy watch 1 hour or less of TV. 23% for poor. I watch television, CNN, CNBC, BBC, all day long. All day long. So I don't think that's the kind of TV they're talking about. Maybe it is. I doubt it. Um, 44% wealthy wake up 3 hours before work. 3% are poor. I woke up 4 hours before today. 74% of wealthy teach good daily success habits to their children. 1% are poor. Can you imagine that? Only 1% of the poor people teach good habits to their kids. No wonder they're so fucked up. No wonder they live in the barrios. No wonder they live in the ghettos. 84% of wealthy people believe good habits create opportunity, luck, versus 4% of poor. 76% of wealthy people believe bad habits create detrimental luck, versus 9% of poor. 86% of wealthy believe in lifelong educational self-improvement, 5% of poor. 86% of wealthy love to read, 26% of poor. I don't like to read, I force myself to read. And one of the things that we're going to talk about when we talk about key characteristics of high-performance people is they force themselves to do the shit they don't like to fucking do. Now, there's a trend here. One, you can be as stupid as a jellyfish and still be on the Hall of Fame. Two, the people on the Hall of Shame that are thieves still made a lot of money in high-performance people. And if you'll notice my influences over here, I've got Stalin, I've got Hitler, I've got a lot of people. Because they were all high-performance people. But whereas I'm not desperate to fit in like you sorry cunts, you are, and your parents were, and your grandparents were. And none of these people, were desperate to fit in. Fit in meaning socioeconomically, etc., etc. Some of you that have businesses lead like this, like you're a fucking pharaoh. Instead of like this. We're not going to go through this slide, but these are guys, top 20, top entrepreneurs that are less than 30. I had a young man here many years ago, the youngest mayor in the United States, Mayor Fidel Vargas, and Harvard graduate. He's now a double Harvard graduate. And he went on to build a $1 billion equity fund. And he's on the Hall of Fame. He was in the Times top 30 under 30 and a lot of different benchmarks that he was voted to when he was a young man. He's now old. He's 43. He's an old man now. He's past his prime. I'm not sure. I'm saying it sarcastically, but a lot of people on that list are internet-based, internet scum, and we have a few internet scum in the audience today. We have one as young as 18, correct?
Correct.
And we have one is, how old are you, Doc?
35.
Oh, you're a fucking kid, okay. We have one as old as 43, almost 44. He looks 55 because, you know, but that's working with me every day. We're here in Scotland for a good reason. We're right down the road from the richest man of all time, Andrew Carnegie, from Dunfermline, Scotland. These are the things that they've invented here in Scotland. I'm not going to go through it, but the most important on that list, in my judgment, is Andrew Carnegie, inventor of the American steel industry and the richest man ever. He's on this list of influencers. Now, when you go to a seminar for Tony or whoever, and you get in a big room with 2,000 or 3,000 people, of which only probably 500 really paid, all the rest of them are fucking free. What's the ambiance? What's the takeaway? What are the deliverables? We're going to talk about you're nothing more than the average of the five people you hang around with the most in your life. If you've got a dad and a mom, those are two of the five. If you've got a couple brothers or three brothers and sisters, that's it. Is that who you want to be like? But many of the great things, television, radar, a lot of great things, were invented in Scotland. People are unable to motivate themselves, must be content with mediocrity, no matter how impressive their talents or credentials. Andrew Carnegie said that over 100 years ago. We've got some well-educated people here that need to be more successful. You cannot push anyone up the ladder unless, that's a ladder of success, unless they were willing to climb. Again, Andrew Carnegie. It's vogue now to say that you're involved or interested in personal development. It was like doing pot in the 70s. I'm told I didn't do pot, but anyway, in the 70s. But you go to one seminar after another, after another, after another, and you don't learn dick. Because to utilize even the ones that are good, their precepts, you've got to change. And nobody wants to change because it's outside their comfort zone. Now, if your homework for lunch, to come back after lunch, is what's the most defining event of your life to date? The most defining. This, you don't even have one, Jerry, so believe me, you're a fucking lazy cunt Canadian. So don't give me that shit, just one. What are you smoking? Would you take drugs on the fucking plane getting over here? He lost his baggage. A typical Canadian deal, he comes to a fucking gunfight with a knife. You know what I mean? How many of you would choose to repeat what you have already done in your life? That's the second question for lunch. How many of you would repeat what you have done to date in life? We also have a revolver in my office. It's loaded that you can put in your mouth and blow your fucking brains out. Because some of you watching this on fucking YouTube should have had a fucking bullet in the back of your fucking throat. You'd be better off. As I just said, and this, I like Jim Rohn. I don't believe in a lot of what he says. But he's coming to my end of the continuum, God love him. You're the average of the five people you spend most of the time with. We're going to talk a lot about you are who you hang around with. But none of those guys hang around with anybody. Just think about the five fucking sorry cunts that you deal with and spend most of your time with. It's astonishing that you're not even worse off than you already fucking are. And who caused this? And who made us this way? Oscar Wilde said it best. Children begin by loving their parents. After a time, they judge them. Rarely, if ever, do they forgive them. You're fucked up because of your mother and father. And in some cases, I know your mother and father in this room, and you're pretty fucked up. I've had grandfathers, daughters, and granddaughters sitting in this room. And when I say that, the daughter turns to the mom, and the mom turns to the grandfather, and they all go, I just spent a few days in Austria with a wealthy family, a father and a son. Same thing I went through, and the mother says, and the cop-out they always use, mom and dad on the fucking YouTube, we did our best. Well, your fucking did your best wasn't good enough. Most people shouldn't have kids, because they're too fucking stupid. But that's why you are the way you are. Now, I was blessed. Serendipity, luck, God, you name it. My mother knew how to build self-esteem. She built self-esteem. Self-esteem is built the first 8 years of life, 7 or 8 years. Most of you that are lacking, you can blame it on whoever you spent most of the time with your first 7 or 8 years of life. And we all know who that is. Or as Alexander the Great said, I am indebted to my father for living, but to my teacher for living well. And who was his mentor? Aristotle. And Aristotle, Plato, and Socrates are up there someplace. There they are. Because they've influenced my life. They've influenced a lot of people's lives. Now, what are we trying to do here for the next week? As the United States Army trained me, And my biggest regret is I'm a combat-trained infantry officer that never led men in combat. I was trained to kill. And as life would have it, I never led men in combat. So it's one of my biggest fucking regrets in my life. I think of it every fucking day. But Pavlov, and when you're in the Marine Corps, the Navy SEALs, Ranger training like I went through, etc., they tear you down to build you up. Pavlov had this figured out a long time ago. Pavlov found that he could, and he did it all with dogs. And if we knew what he did with dogs, you know how when he says it's Pavlov because the when you say it's Pavlovian, they wouldn't allow him to do to dogs what he did to dogs 125 years ago. Okay. Then he could classify dogs so as to predict how easily a particular dog would break down. That the dogs hardest to break down were also the hardest to return to their breakdown state. That should be state, I misspelled that. That any dog could be broken down and that he couldn't reverse the breakdown except imposing stress. This seminar is all about controlled stress. The Toyota Way, which is a great book, one of the only books I recommend, talks about Mr. Toyota originally saying the reason he was so successful is he had everybody under stress all the time. And what kind of workplace do you have? Slappy fucking happy, jacking off, everybody love one another. That ain't the way it is. If you want to get to that wall. And that's what we do here. We break you down. But I used to wait till the end of the second day, the beginning of the third day, to tell you all this. Now we're going to go, and there's going to be hundreds and hundreds, 1,300 more slides. But I don't want you to have any fucking misgivings or illusions. I'm going to rip your fucking head off and shit down your fucking miserable necks while you're here. Because I don't give a shit if you like. I hope the guy you. Certainly I don't want you to love me. And I don't even want you to like me. 10 years from now, you'll respect me. Because this is life. This is you, you sorry cunts, with your dreams. My little stick. Thank you. And what do we have to get through? Our relatives. Past our friends. Pessimists. Society. Guilt, fear, to get to our goals. Most of you don't make it. Because you care about what these people think. That's your lives. Your miserable fucking lives, you two. Read it and fucking weep. And for those of you that think you can have a balanced life, I hate that when the people ask me that shit. Normally you're too embarrassed to ask me in the group, so you ask me like a little cunt when you come to my office for a private time. According to Joe, in the last 100 years, maybe ever, there's no such thing as work-life balance. None! There are work-life choices, and you make them, and they have consequences. Period. So for those of you on YouTube that are looking for work-life balance, go fuck yourselves. It's a joke. It always has been a joke. It always fucking will be a joke. Now, 20 years ago when I said this, they said I was crazy. But now they teach courses at Harvard. You can't be a wimp. You have to make the tough calls. This is the renowned Indian professor at Harvard, just from a couple months ago, Ram Shalan. You got to make the hard calls. You can't be a wimp. You can't be a cunt. The only thing he didn't say in the article is you can't be a cunt. Do you realize how far that's changed in 20 years since I've been doing this? 20 years ago, I was the only swinging dick on the fucking planet that said there is no life-work balance, and you were all cunts. Now, even at Harvard, they teach it. Must be that I'm wrong now. I got to go back the other way. I'm not going to go there. There's 15 billionaires who are dirt poor. One of which is a good friend of mine, Ken Langone, number 3 on there. Not by size of the money, but they started with nothing, less than nothing, just like I did. Fortune sides with him who dares. Most of you have never dared in your life. Marcus was a champion skier for Austria many years ago when he was young. Now he's an old, bent up, hobbling cripple. I thought of you. I thought of you when I heard about Schumacher. I thought of you. But we're not taught to dare. Life begins at the end of your comfort zone. If you want to get something you don't have, you got to do something you've not done. Used to be that guys that wore pink shirts were all gay. I've been wearing pink shirts since I can't remember when. And I use a lot of metaphors, because I assume everybody understands shit, fuck, cunt, bitch. And on top of it, you burn up 360 calories a year. Fucking a year. For some of you, it probably is a year. An hour. Because those guys that I've had the privilege of meeting, and we're going to talk a lot about the language of the high-performance person, use bad words. And I have some tapes of very high-performance people caught off guard. Well, they don't have to catch me off guard. Go fuck yourself. Okay. YouTube guys, we'll see you later. Thank you very much.